My mornings are chaos. I need coffee that works as hard as I do. That's why I drink Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's rich, delicious coffee boosted with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics. Everything I need for focus and balance, ready in 30 seconds. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, enter for a chance to win $100 cash or get your entire order refunded. Visit everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the fall season edition of the Outdoor Podcast, proudly created by bowhunterplanet.com. This show is really cool because it does focus on outdoor activities and other things people like to do in the outdoors, including hunting, camping, fishing, and all the above. So make sure you guys tune in for this great season coming up in our fall 2024 podcast. The show today is brought to you in part by Easton Archery, Gas Bowstrings, Trophy Ridge, Moultrie Mobile, Vapor Trail, Burris Optics, The Bow Hitch, and caffeine provided by Deer Camp Coffee. Now, on to the show. Hey guys, Dave Thomas here from Bowhunter Planet and our Outdoor Podcast. Super excited today to welcome Joe back on. It's been a while, Joe. You haven't been on. It might be a year, maybe two.
I want to say it's at least been a couple years, which is crazy because it feels like it really wasn't that long ago.
I feel like it was the Bowhunter Planet podcast when you were on last. So
yeah, that's correct. Yeah,
2 seasons ago, probably, but it's a good thing. I think it's interesting too to give some time to see kind of how things have changed and progressed for each company and, you know, what's new. So I guess Fourth Arrow Camera Arms is, you know, high quality stuff here. We're talking like, well, first off, you guys kind of came out of nowhere a few years back and just did an amazing job, like kind of breaking into the industry, getting rolling, and doing the stuff right, you know, and I think people recognize that right off the bat. And I think that's why you guys have been so successful, is just the quality and the engineering have been very over the top, in my opinion, just awesome stuff. So I guess tell us about what's new, what's going on, what's happening at Fourth Arrow right now.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So we've got a few things kind of over the last couple of years that we've tried to focus on. Of course, everybody always wants lighter, right? Everybody always wants to go lighter, which is a big priority for us. But at the same time, we always have to, you know, walk that line of we want it to be light and packable, but we don't want to compromise stability, right? So kind of what we've done over the last couple of years is kind of expanded our overall lineup of what we have for basically any level of filmer or your hunting style, right? So of course, saddle hunting's become really big. So last couple of years, we released our satellite arm, which that one's been actually really, really well received. We sold a lot of those. It's basically our first arm that was really built from the ground up to be as lightweight, as packable as possible. And really designed for saddle hunting. So it's got a really compact base, all in, like the whole camera arm kit with the cam buckle strap and everything only weighs like 2.3 pounds.
Wow.
It's a triple arm. So some of our other arms, like some guys I know are still running like our stiff arm for saddle hunting, which isn't ideal. It's great for tree stands, mm-hmm. but for saddle hunting, having that longer two section arm, just hard to get underneath your bridge. It just makes it a little trickier for filming. So kind of that three section arm has kind of been the sweet spot for the saddle guys. So that one's been a really big one for us. The other one too, that's been really surprising of how well it's done is our baton arm. Our baton arm is kind of our entry level tree arm. So there are so many guys now that like, hey, I want to get in dabble, you know, in filming, get my feet wet a little bit. They're like, hey, I got a really, really nice camera in my pocket, right? Everybody's got a nice cell phone now that takes great video, at least for archery where you don't need to zoom in a whole lot. It works really well. So not as good as a dedicated camera, but still it's something to work with. So our baton arm, has been very well received. That's really cool to see. just so many guys just want to start out filming. And it packs down super, super well. It's super simple to set up. So actually this December, we released the 2.0 version of the baton arm, really just improved, made the leveling a little bit easier. So that's been one thing. The other thing, sometimes it's the simple things that make you happy when you're out there, like simple improvements. I don't know. So I like to use second angle cameras. I like to use like a GoPro or like a 360 cam, super handy to have out there. It makes, for me, I edit a lot of our video. So like editing side makes it so much easier when you have a second angle, because you can bounce back and forth between your main camera angle and your second angle. It might take 30 minutes for that deer to come in, but if you have a second angle to cut back and forth between the main cam and that angle, you can make it happen in 2 minutes, you know, and make it feel natural.
Yeah.
Right. So I traditionally had used like a gooseneck mount for my GoPro with a clamp on it. For me, that was just so convenient, whether I'm hunting out of ladder stand or the saddle or in a blind, I could clamp it to anything. My biggest complaint with ones we had used is those gooseneck joints would always like make noise and stuff and squeak and all that, which is just super annoying, especially when it's cold out. So we came out with a Silent Flex POV clamp mount, and it doesn't make any noise at all. So sometimes just those little things, those little accessories can just help things too. So yeah, that's been kind of some of our newer things that we have come out with over the last couple of years. So
yeah, that's cool. I was gonna ask you, so when we talk about things like filming with GoPros and we'll say GoPros, those type of cameras, not phones, but GoPros specifically, do you guys have what do you guys like, I guess, when it comes to those? Cause I know like DJI has created one, GoPro's got one, 360's got a couple, you know, like what's your thoughts? Do you guys like one over another, just from your experience, I guess?
Yeah, so for me personally, I haven't played with like the Insta360s, for example, I personally haven't. One of my other guys here has, and I've started editing a little bit of his footage. I don't personally have one yet, but the fun thing with those 360 cams is you don't have to worry at all where they're pointed. And honestly, the footage I've at least edited, like I said, I haven't ran one of myself a whole ton, but it's actually not that difficult to edit. It's pretty easy to move around. And get the framing where you want. And most editing softwares can get rid of a lot of that like distortion of it being such a wide angle lens. So it doesn't look too bad. So those are fun. I definitely recommend anybody out there that wants to expand what they do for second angles to check them out. And then the other side too, with like the Ace Pros and those different other second angle, regular, more like GoPro competitors, I personally haven't used like the Insta360 Ace Pro. I know some guys that are running really like them. I personally haven't used one. I've heard for some things they're a little bit better than the GoPros, but I'm still running the GoPro. So it's worked. So I'm just still sticking with that for now. But yeah, I've heard some good things about some of those other ones. So.
Yeah, I get intrigued by the DJI one because, you know, obviously their drones are phenomenal and they got the quality and cameras
all right.
Well, and,
yep.
You know, things like that look pretty cool. You know, the thing about the baton, I was going to ask you before we move on from that one, but the mount, how it mounts to the tree, that has some flexibility, right? Like you can mount on a weird angle and still like level it.
Yeah. So for the baton, the one thing that you have to just keep in mind, you have to at least put it on the tree straight, right and left.
Got it.
So you have a ton of degrees of leveling up
exactly.
And down.
Okay.
It's just right and left. So that's going to be your main difference between like the baton, as a more entry level arm versus going up to like our 3.0 shoulder, for example, that goes on all our main camera arm kits. It's like a ball that you can rotate and level at pretty much any angle.
Yeah, I love this option for people because number one, it's $100 without a head on it. So if you had a head, like you want to use your own arm head, whatever, you can throw on it. But if you want their mini head plus foam out, it's about $160. And to be honest, that's where I would go with it if I was buying this today. Cause like I film a lot with my phone more than I thought I would. I really enjoy using my iPhone Pro to do filming. Cause it gives me the angle I need. I can do it. I can see the screen exactly what's happening. and I know if the deer's in frame or not. And I like the idea that I can have this arm off to my right with my phone on it and just film from that perspective. I also right. love the idea that, you know, with the GoPro type thing, we can reach out using something like the Outreach arm that you guys sell. Now, that arm is actually pretty cool, in my opinion, because that arm can change the whole dynamic of what you're doing. I've always told people who are filming for YouTube and things like that, like, hey, really think about a GoPro system with a remote control, because it gives you a lot of options for like just a quick click to turn them on. And with your right. Outreach arm, it really kind of sets the stage for a whole bunch of sweet camera angles that you could never get without something like this, especially over the top of you. I put this right. arm across the way on a different tree facing me and facing right. the scene. So you could see me, you could see the deer, you could see the whole, you know, it was one of the right. coolest things I could have done with this. And I love right. the fact that you guys sell extra Outreach arm tree screws. So you can actually, right. you can, no matter where you're going, you can set up, say you bought two right. of these arms, you could drop them in real quick on different sets. You know, I mean, it's right. genius, really.
Yeah. That's the thing for us. Like a lot of us in our own group, we hunt a lot of private land, like here in central Michigan. And there's a lot of times you're going back to the same spots. And that's really part of the catalyst that even started Fort Thayer to begin with is, hey, we're going back to these spots. I want a base I can leave in the tree, right? Because that makes your life so much easier. So yeah, having those Outreach bases, just leave, screw into the tree and leave in there, makes it super convenient. But yeah, the Outreach is fun because, you know, so many people are like, oh, how do I be creative, kind of set my videos, you know, above others, or just be able to have some fun with some cool second angles. The Outreach is really fun to be able to do that because you can go out like 6 feet out away from you. Whether you're self-filming, it's fun to be able to point that camera back at you. And like if with a second angle, when you're self-filming, it's fun to be able to take people along with that journey of what you're going through to try to make everything come together. Cause it's a challenge for sure to get everything on film when you're self-filming, but it's fun to be able to see what goes on in the tree, and the Outreach arm really allows you to do that pretty easily. Yeah.
I would tell anybody and challenge anybody, if you are especially looking to film or get creative with your content, you know, Fourth Arrow is the word where you need to be. These guys are where you need to be because they have everything you're going to need to get rolling. And it's not very expensive, in my opinion. I feel like you guys do a really good job on your price points and it's not overwhelming. I mean, I've seen other brands that are just way out there, $500+, and there's no better quality than what yours is. So, I mean, it doesn't even make sense. And they're usually bulkier and way heavier. So, I wouldn't recommend going a different route than this if you're doing it. I was going to say this Outreach arm, I want to give you guys some props for this because I'll be honest with you. I actually forgot mine outside for over a year. I left it in the tree and I totally forgot. And I'm sitting there and I'm looking around one day, the year after, and I go, what's that stick right there? You know? And I'm like, wait a minute, that's my arm. Oh my God. But it still works fine. Like that's what I was going to say. It was out there enduring the most from the year before all through the right. winter, and it was great. I obviously your intention is probably to have your users bring them in, but I'm just saying, I accidentally left it and it's still fine. Well, I was blown away by the quality that thing
that's could funny. Handle. Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah. I was like, dang, it didn't rust or anything. I was like, wow. Okay. This is great. Great. Let's talk about ground blinds. What do you guys offer for ground blind hunters?
Yeah. So we have a few different options. So starting with like the pop-up blind side of things, a lot of us like turkey season, we want a pretty, you know, a convenient way to be able to film from like a ground blind, pop-up blind. So we got a couple different options. Our main option is what we call our pillar kit. So imagine taking our regular Fourth Arrow monopod and attaching a clamp to the top of it. And that clamp, you can mount that on a hard-sided blind onto the shelf of a blind. Or we have, for your hub-style pop-up blind, we have a pop-up blind adapter. So imagine a little bracket that would mount to the cross-section of the hubs on a pop-up blind, and it basically creates a little shelf that you're going to clamp to with that clamp and the pillar. So once you get cool. that all set up, super easy to set up, then you have a little tripod adapter basically where you can drop your arm into that. So basically you're using the structure of the blind itself to help give your system support, where you don't have to have a tripod in the blind. And that's the thing that a lot of us have run into is, especially if you're self-filming, or even if you're filming someone else, or you just have two people in a blind, it can be really klutzy to try to move around a tripod. And also with a blind, you have blind spots too. So sometimes you're like trying to move it because the turkey or the deer is like over in the corner, hidden behind that blind spot. And to be able to have a system mounted basically to the wall that you can move around and articulate on an arm makes things a lot easier. So that's the cool thing with that pillar system. You can use it in the soft-sided or a hard-sided blind by clamping to the shelf. We also have even some more simple, really cheap pillar systems that you can get. We actually sell them on our Final Rest shooting system side, but they also work for the camera arms as well. So you can get, like, we sell a pillar light for $50, and some guys will actually mount those inside their blinds, their hard-sided blinds, and leave them. The other option, so I have a couple on one of the properties I hunt. I've got a couple of just homemade wooden blinds that we built. And we sell we call it a fixed blind base. It's just a simple base that screws right into the wall in your blind. And then your arm just drops in from there. And those are like $34.99 for one. And we sell like a 4-pack where you can save some money on those too. And that makes it really nice because I can just, for really cheap, I can just mount bases in all of my blinds. Yeah. And then I know everything's already set up and ready to go. Then I just have to bring the arm out with me.
Isn't that also true with your camera arms for tree stands?
Right. Correct. So yeah, with our kind of what I alluded to earlier with our multi-base system. So for those of you who may not have seen or not put your hands on a fourth arrow camera arm, basically it's going to come in three different components when it comes for in the tree. It's going to come with a base, a shoulder, which is where your leveling is, and then your arm. So the base is going to be the part that you can mount to the tree and leave there all season long. And then you're going to bring that leveling mechanism, the shoulder, and then the arm out with you each time. So you're not running a strap around, trying to reach around the tree each time and get a strap around or running a ratchet strap. So that just makes things so much easier. And that's the thing I always tell people is for filming, it's going to be extra work no matter what.
Yeah.
But you don't want to make it too hard where you don't enjoy it, right? So our goal is to simplify everything, make it easy to do so that everybody can enjoy it.
This pillar thing on the ground blind part is unbelievable. That's such a good idea. Like I didn't know you had that. Like I'm looking at it going, wow, that is such a good idea. I love that you can push it all to one side, you know, and it gets out of your way. Right. But I will say for the traditional side of it, you guys have this Turkey Deluxe filming package. That's pretty cool too, in the sense of I love the idea of those mounts that hold the GoPro that you can put anywhere. And like I said, with remote control, you can hit one button and you're like right in the field with the turkey, you know, with one of those cameras on the ground. And
right.
Even the monopod one is pretty cool too. Now I'm thinking about it because it depends on the camera you choose. So that monopod with a GoPro on it, no problem. There's no weight issue at all, or a small camcorder or even a small DSLR, like one of these I'm filming on would go on that. No problem. No weight issue at all. Meaning that you could stick it anywhere. It's not going to tilt or tip. Anything right. That's super heavy, you know, you might have an issue depending. It looks like a pretty big stake in there you guys have, but I would say.
Yeah. So like, for example, if you jump on our website and you go under this, like our spot and stock options. So another thing, like you can either use in the blind, in a pop-up blind, for example, or just in the field, is we have a monopod and stake combo. So our standard monopod that we sell for filming, we also sell a stake attachment. It's like a 6-inch stake that stakes right into the ground. And it's actually surprising how big of camera setups guys have run on that.
Wow.
The effectiveness depends on your soil type. That's obvious. Super rocky areas, you're going to struggle with it. But where I'm at, where most guys are filming, you know, kind of more in the Midwest, South or whatever, most areas it works really well for. And like, for example, my turkey hunts, I usually am more of a run and gun turkey hunter, and I'll just stake that bad boy in the ground and I can self film without having a tripod, just run that monopod with that stake on it. It's lighter. It's just easier to carry around and move around than a tripod.
Yeah. Makes complete sense. So where are you guys located in Michigan?
We are just north of Grand Rapids, like in Rockford area.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Because we hunt out that way a lot in that region. I thought you guys were over there. I know there's a lot of companies on the west side. So you got Scentlock, you guys. I think there's a couple.
Latitude. there's a few of us over here. Packer Max, that's another one. They sell Call the Packers. They're just up the road from us.
I just saw Latitude at, where were they at? I was at Moore Archery doing an event a couple weeks ago, and they were there. They had a tent there. So that was cool. It's cool to see them, talk to them a little bit. And, you know, it's interesting to know the companies who are Michigan companies sometimes, because you don't, because Michigan's such like a, it's interesting because Michigan's like one of the birthplaces of archery stuff. I mean, literally Fred Bear, but on top of that, we've had so many companies come and go from our state, like Carbon Express and Oneida has been here for a while. Obviously Darden. I mean, there's so many brands that have grown here and sometimes sold and moved out, you know, whatever. But like, there's always more. And that's the thing. They always just keep popping up because there's so many outdoors men and women here. That's just so crazy. You know, it makes sense to me, you know, that people get excited about it. It's pretty cool.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It is kind of surprising when I learned how many companies were from Michigan. I'm like, oh, that is pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, some of those legendary like Boning. I mean, man, it's been a long time doing that. It's crazy. Yep. So what's your favorite arm here? What do you use the most, would you say, out of all these?
I use, at the end of the day, I probably would say I use the stiff arm the most because I usually try to set up things where I can hunt out of a ladder stand. But there's been a couple of years in the last few years where I even saddle hunted a little bit more than I tree stand hunted. But that for that, I use a micro triple arm. So basically, I'm either running the stiff arm or the micro triple, and I can use the same bases for each. So I can just easily swap which one I'm using. So yeah, those are my two mainstays. And then if I'm filming out of a ground blind, depending upon the ground blind, if I want more reach, I'll use the stiff arm. Or I'll use the micro triple if I don't need quite as much reach in the ground blind.
So what's the so I'm going to ask this question just because it looks different. And I look at all these and everything looks pretty similar. There's some square tube, round tube, but the Ghost has a totally different look compared to some of the others. What's the reason for the look? Is it a weight reduction? Is it just to look cool? Like is there anything there?
Yeah. So it's actually more for a weight reduction. So we have, over the years, one of the cool things, we actually released, I believe it was the first carbon arm available in the filming market. We released that, you know, kind of in the early days of Fourth Arrow, and we went through three iterations of the carbon arm. A lot of guys really liked it because it's a little bit lighter, and also it's a little bit quieter if you bump it, and it's warmer to the touch, right? So if it's cold out in the winter and you're like, got your arm on it or you're carrying it, it's a lot warmer when it's cold out. But we ended up, carbon is just also very expensive. Mm-hmm. So one of the things we were looking at is, hey, what could we do to take that stability that we already have in an aluminum body arm and make it lighter, but yet still pretty stable? So for those of you that never seen the stiff arm Ghost, imagine a tube that looks like an M-lock rail on an AR, for example. That's kind of what it looks like. Where it's got, we jetted out some holes basically in the arm to cut down on weight. So it actually made it lighter than any of our carbon arms in the past. So the only downside of the carbon is you still have to have aluminum joints and the ends to make everything sturdy and work. So the actual tubular part might be lighter with the carbon, but once you add in the joints, then you lose kind of some of those weight savings. So that was a fun thing with the Ghost. Like all in that thing, the whole setup weighs like 4.1 pounds for the entire setup with the base and shoulder and strap and everything. So
it's crazy.
Any short-sighted spy in the field can provide you with images. Only the Moultrie Edge 2 cell cams provide tactical reconnaissance. High-resolution photos and videos paired with detailed intel of where game is most active. Built for simplicity, just turn on your Edge 2 cell cam and it will auto-connect to one of the four major cellular networks, while our easy-to-use app arms you with game plan so you can determine where and when to hunt. Don't just capture images. Gather intelligence.
The most advanced range-finding bow sight is now even better. Introducing the Oracle 2 from Burris. Based on customer feedback, we improved the pin brightness control, refined...
Whether I'm worried about hosting or just giving that perfect gift, creating a delicious holiday for my loved ones is super important to me. From effortless holiday hostings to unforgettable gifts, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. They've always been super convenient in giving me the most high-quality steaks I could ask for, whether for myself or a loved one. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com And for an extra $35 off, use code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM. Go to omahasteaks.com and use code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
The LRF adjustment system, and brighten the aiming ring. There's still no glass to scratch, fog, glare, or break. And the fail-safe 20-yard pin has your back no matter what. At the push of a button, you instantly get the yardage to target. Extend your ethical distance with the Oracle 2 from Burris. Burris.
But Easton match-grade shafts undergo a far more meticulous straightness check with razor tolerance at both ends, the center, and the critical quarter locations. Discover the ultimate in precision and made in USA quality. Visit your authorized Easton dealer and pick up your Easton Match Grade Pro Shop Series arrows today.
Established in a small town in Kentucky in 1981, a company that produces quality products that archers have come to rely on. I started shooting with a Scott release and have passed the tradition on. As I've aged, the company I started with continues to innovate and produce the premium products it always has. My dad always told me, never forget where you came from. Well, I haven't. Shoot with confidence. Shoot a Scott.
What does it mean to be unrivaled? To be unrivaled isn't about winning a trophy. It's about putting in the hours that nobody else sees. To be unrivaled isn't just a choice, it's a lifestyle. It's to push yourself to be your best day in and day out. Gas Bowstrings. Be unrivaled.
For more than 20 years, Trophy Ridge has developed tools that bow hunters trust and continue to lead the way in bow hunting innovation. Our field-proven products dish out dirt naps all over the world. We've manufactured and sold millions of products along the way, each one strategically designed to give you a distinct advantage in the field. From the backyard and competitive courses, to the backcountry and Midwest cornfields, our products remain lethal, accurate, and continue to help you react to the situation at hand. Trophy Ridge accessories give you confidence regardless of the situation. Our sights, rest, stabilizers, quivers, and releases set you up to be successful season after season. There are plenty of factors to think about on the hunt. Your gear shouldn't be one of them. We're Trophy Ridge, and we build the tools that bow hunters trust.
We are outdoors people, boating, fishing, hunting, and we are coffee lovers. My husband and I, we met at a coffee shop about 20 years back. So we've grown to love different blends, different beans, and different types of coffee. And throughout our time together, we decided that we wanted to create something for ourselves. So that's where this all came into play. And it's not just an outdoorsman, it's women, men, children. It's the community that come in here and they like it. They sit down at our cafe. They might have a venison hot dog, a cold brew coffee, and they enjoy their time here.
Yeah, I think it's interesting you can relate that to the archery industry as well, because like when you said that, you know, like Bowtech's a good example with their bow, their carbon bow. You know, the whole bow is carbon, but then you got these huge heavy end parts, right? That made it, that took away all the savings and weight. It took that away. But another cool thing, another cool invention in the industry that I thought was a really smart move was done by Prime. And Prime created that nano grip to take away the issue of a cold, holding a cold thing. I was like, that is genius. You know, like it's not a carbon bow, but it's got a car. It's basically a carbon grip almost, right? Where you're holding something, you feel nothing. And I was like, that's a good point. You know, like thinking of it that way is like carbon isn't always the solution. But is cold really going to be a problem for yours specifically? I don't think so, because I would.
Yeah, I mean, you're not. Right, exactly. Yeah, for a camera, you're not really holding it a lot, right?
But like a bow, where you're going to hold it the whole time. Exactly. You know, you get it out there. But this is sweet, man. I love the look of it. I think it looks great. That one to me looks really cool. And I love the idea that you guys did that just to reduce the weight. I mean, it makes sense to me to, you know, try different things to reduce the weight, you know?
Yep. Yeah, and a fun thing too, like the other thing that separates it, it's very similar to our regular stiff arm. But it's also a little bit longer too. For some guys, they want to have a two-piece arm, but they might want a little bit extra reach. They can get that, you know, with the stiff arm Ghost. So like the whole reach that you get with the regular stiff arm is 38 inches. With the stiff arm Ghost, you're at 41 inches. So you get 3 inches extra of reach while still being lighter.
Yeah, that's cool. And I understand why people would want, like, for instance, the Stiff Arm Pro 2.0 kit, you know, because like to me, you know, $330. What's $330 to protect a $5,000 camera? Or, you know what I mean? These guys are using, you know, Sony high-end cameras that are, I mean, I had one at one point, it was $6,000. We had it and we dropped it in the studio and broke some. I'm like, oh my God, you know.
Of all places to drop it.
In the studio. Yeah, it is kind of crazy. Field.
Yeah. I had the opportunity. Well, actually we took on a bear hunt, Nick and Tom with Become One. They're partners and, they run a Film the Hunt school down in Ohio and stuff, but we took them up on a bear hunt and we had a great time. But at that time they were actually running a Red camera.
Yeah.
And that's like a lot of money up in a tree, you know, 20 foot up. So you gotta really trust your equipment there.
Cool look though. That'll look amazing.
Oh yeah, they got some sick slow-mo shots of those bears.
Oh, I can't imagine. Yeah, that's the cool part about the. I love the good cameras in the field because you do get to see like just the incredible nature, and you know just so raw. You know the footage is so good; it's so crystal clear, 8K HD, whatever you want to call it. I mean, it just looks incredible,
right?
And it looks like real life, you know, compared to like sometimes you see things that's just more flat. And those cameras are really able to bring forward like the 3D dimension, and the you know it's just incredible. What they can do.
Yeah.
And obviously, I know you've seen some of the, not with those cameras, but even better in those, the super high speed camera, slow motion stuff. It's insane. Like where they shoot a tank round and you can follow it the whole way. I mean, it's just.
Right. It's nuts. The camera technology these days is pretty cool.
So what are you guys up to this year? Anything new coming out or next year? What are you guys thinking?
Yeah. On the camera arm side, we actually have a couple things in the works. We've got, I can't say too much right now, but for the satellite arm, we've got something fun coming out that might be good for the guys that are really, really wanting to go very minimalist. So the other thing too, we're about to release this, so I guess I'm just going to show this. So we have a new phone mount coming out very soon. So perfect. I personally love all the MagSafe stuff for my iPhone, right? So pop sockets, I've gotten used to.
I've actually loved them.
There you go.
Wallet.
I love my pop socket, and then I love how I can take this off with the MagSafe. So we're coming out with a new phone mount that is compatible with MagSafe.
Perfect.
So we we got another accessory coming out that's MagSafe compatible, which I can't say too much about yet. But so yeah, it's kind of fun with all of us using our phones for so much these days. We got a couple fun things coming out for that. So yeah, between the satellite, keep an eye out for that. Keep an eye out for some fun MagSafe stuff. So
awesome. So Joe, real quick, what's your thoughts on, you know, hunting in Michigan? Like how's it been for you? Are you pretty happy with Michigan? You know, because I know the DNR has been doing a lot of, you know, asking questions, getting, you know, people's opinions on the state and what's going on. And I was just curious, since you're a Michigander as well, what your thoughts have been on that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would say, well, I grew up like the way I grew up. If you saw a nice 2.5-year-old 8-point, that was like a really nice deer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was kind of like the, between the areas I had opportunity to hunt, that was just kind of the mindset. Right. And still, you know, even my dad or my grandpa, they had always more the mindset of, hey, if it's brown, it's down, right? Like they didn't care so much. They want to shoot a big buck, right? But it's more that traditional mindset of, you know, if I don't shoot it, the neighbor will, right? So, yeah, I would say just from like, from areas I hunt now, we've had some nice deer, some really nice deer the last, you know, several years. I feel like there's still pockets in Michigan that, that you get the guys that, you know, are more focused on managing things and trying to get some bigger deer. So that's been encouraging to see. There's always still those pockets that, you know, you struggle with everything getting shot more.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there's a lot you could go into with the whole CWD stuff or the whole baiting and mineral stuff.
Some of that stuff really doesn't make all that much sense, but to be honest with you, my fear is along the lines of generational loss of hunters. And I feel like in Michigan, we're just losing hunters by the hordes. And the thing is, you know, I understand there's issues with CWD that they want to, you know, whatever it is, I understand there's problems with the baiting. But my concern is that, like, without the bait, without those options, it's really hard to draw an urban kid to learn archery or go hunting. They have no land. Yep. They have, and I know this because I grew up this way. I grew up hunting and baiting to get a deer, and I literally worked my butt off just to kill a small spike on the public land with bait.
And even with the bait, it's not a guarantee. You're still
the issue is I think we're getting the mix of exactly, and I think we're getting the mix of hunters against hunters in weird ways. Just because I understand if you own a farm and you don't want someone baiting on state land and pulling, I get it. Listen, I get that. But the problem is, without these hunters coming up, like these new people, what is that going to leave us? Like that means companies like Fourth Arrow are going to have no one to sell to. Bow companies like Bear are going to have no one to sell a bow to. And you know, and this is becoming a problem. And I feel like, you know, they're not really listening to us. And I don't like the fact that I feel like, and I could be wrong, but I feel like it's extremely political. And I don't like that. Like, listen, we have to do what's right for our state. And because there's a Republican governor or a Democrat governor should not change the baiting rule. And that's exactly what happened all these years.
Right.
The Democrat was there, no baiting. A Republican came in for 8 years. We have baiting for 8 years. Democrat comes back in. Right. There's no baiting instantly. I'm like, guys, why is this so hard to figure out? Like, this isn't should have nothing to do with politics. Yeah. Like, what?
Right. And well, so now there's some areas too that's like, oh, we've got too many does. Well, now we got to encourage these hunters to shoot more does, or like, but yet they don't even do that effectively.
No.
It's like, come on, guys, if you just help encourage more hunters in general.
Scares me, man. Generations have been lost. My kids don't want to hunt anymore. They're so bored. They go out now. They don't see nothing. You know, I can't.
Right.
You know, here's the other thing I would say is that, and just to put this in perspective. So like when I started bow hunter planning in 2009, I had, you know, decided, I was like, well, I gotta go out more and film more so we can do this community. So I go out and hunt on the state land and I don't see anything. And a buddy of mine calls me who wants to do this with us, like help part the show. He's like, hey, why don't you just come over? You're in the area. Just come over to my farm. You can hunt there. You know, I'm like, oh, okay. So I go over to his farm and I hunt. And I'm not exaggerating when I say this. I'm not exaggerating. I could have shot 60 deer in that one night. Like, that's how many deer. There was 100 deer in the field eating soybean that he's got a soybean farm. And I shot a deer instantly like that. A doe was down within like 10 minutes of sitting. And the rest of the time I sat there, I saw over 60, 70 deer walk into the field. And there's grazing in front of me. And my point is I understand from those people's perspective why they don't want baiting. I get it. But like, they have to understand, like, you no one can afford 120 acres of soybean. No one can afford to buy land just to go hunt. And, you know, the people who have the land aren't just going to give it up to say, hey, random people, come hunt here. You know, I mean, it's just a lose-lose.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I mean, I know a lot of guys that kind of have, in some sense, kind of a mixed feelings on the whole baiting thing, because there's that selfish side of you that's like, well, I don't want to lose a buck to the neighbors.
I don't disagree.
Him going out there on opening day and shooting my buck that I've been putting food plots in for, you know, like, that's where that whole battle goes on between, you know, that's the guys with the land and the other guys that just want to.
On the issue.
Right.
Yeah, that's the issue. Because the people who have those farms who spend a lot of money, I get it.
Right.
I'm not taking away from that. I get it.
Right.
You know,
exactly. But, man, but on the same side, if, you know, if we're losing hunter numbers, then, you know.
And the other thing I have a hard time with is I just feel like I saw a video the other day and it was, I forgot the name of the show. It's a show and it's about like Michigan DNR officers and, you know, they're going up and catching like these old timers, like baiting with a, I mean, honestly, it's like a grocery bag full of bait, like a joke, right? I'm like, and they're like, oh, is this your bait you hunted? He's like, no, I never seen that. You know, so I was like, you're making these people into liars and felons. Over some stupid food on the ground. I mean, come on.
Right.
Why are you even questioning this guy? Just be like, hey, man, don't bait and walk away. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't understand why we're getting into this whole, like, oh, you're going to get a ticket and you're going to get in trouble. Like, come on. Like, this is ridiculous. Right. These guys have grown up their whole lives hunting these lands with bait. You know what I mean? Like, all of a sudden now, and they still sell it at the grocery store. Or
well, that's the thing. As much as it's sold at the gas station still, though, I feel like there's a lot of people that just said, yeah, forget it. I'm just going to do what I want.
I know. It sucks. It sucks that it shouldn't even have to do that. You know, it's just
exactly.
Like, what are we doing here, guys? Like, how, and I thought it was funny too, because the DNR hosted this huge event about what are we going to do? Cause we're losing, we're having too many deer and all this stuff. And, and yet baiting was like the last thing that even came up and they just shrugged it off instantly. I'm like, guys, like, who's paying you? Like, what is happening here? Like, how is this possible? You want us to kill more deer, but you won't let us bait to kill the deer. You want more hunters to spend money on tags, but you won't let those hunters come up into our group. Like, it doesn't make any sense. It's like a, like, you're,
They say one thing and do the exact opposite.
It just doesn't make sense. That's what I said. I feel like there's a couple of people that know what's up and know what to do, and then they try to do it, and then they get thrown out, you know, whatever. I don't know.
Yeah.
I hate politics, and I hate that it has to do with our hunting heritage, unfortunately. It just sucks.
Right. But, yeah, it's that's a thing, though. Like, that is the annoying thing aside of it. Like, yeah, you have to be kind of involved because it is kind of the future of it.
Scary.
But it's also the whole, you know, the whole culture as a whole, like, what are we doing to reach the whole entire culture? Right. Cause if your population is not, you know, it starts becoming against it, then that's not good either. Right.
So I was going to say, I think what's going to end up happening. I'm not kidding. Like, I think at some point the companies in this industry are going to have to band together with funding to like work politics. I hate to say it, but I feel like they're going to have to do a group like they do for these automotive companies and all this.
RMEF or SEI, like they do some of that and they do some litigation and do some different things, which is good. Right. And we do some things to help support groups like that. Right. But and also just like the whole culture thing of like, and I think shows, you know, that have reached a broader audience, you know, like Meat Eater, for example, the whole side of, hey, we're hunting to harvest animals to provide for ourselves. And this is, organic and all these
truly
things.
Truly organic,
This is something that if it wasn't for hunter-gatherers, we wouldn't exist today as humans. Okay?
I agree.
So, like, this is part of our heritage. It's something that's in us and built inside of us. And, you know, there's been some encouraging things where you can see people that you wouldn't think would all of a sudden say, oh, wait, all this processed foods, all this other stuff isn't healthy. Well, all these hunter guys, they have it figured out, you know, like this is good, healthy, lean meat. Like, so there's been some encouraging things that you've seen, but there's still that overall like culture war of, okay, how are we going to, you know, advocate for hunting long-term?
Yeah, and I also think that it sucks that, and I love, obviously, I'm a big fan of Second Amendment. I believe totally in guns and all that. But I'm just saying, like, we're always just kind of group with that, right? We're not, like, separate, like, hunters for organic food and healthy living. We're not separate. We're always, like, bundled in.
Right.
They want to bundle, push us in with NRA and all this stuff, which I'm a bow hunter. Yeah. I don't even shoot a gun. I don't even hunt with a gun. You know what I mean? Like, I have no issue with that group, but I don't want to be – I want this to be separate so we can go forward with the Fred Bear mentality of getting youth to shoot archery, not necessarily guns, is archery.
Yep.
And so that's why, you know, there's just so much weird stuff with that. And I just feel like we need to be separate in the sense of how do we grow the archery bow hunting?
Yeah, for sure.
You know,
yeah. One thing on that, just to plug one of the things we're involved in. I don't know if you've seen any of the Raised at Full Draw youth archery camps. We actually run the Michigan one. Right now there's only one in Michigan, but there's a bunch of camps throughout the country. There's three new ones in PA, and there's a bunch of different camps in a bunch of different states. But that's been something fun that we've had the opportunity to be involved in. I think we almost had 50 kids this last year. It was basically a 4-day camp where they get to learn. They basically get their hunter safety certificate and they get to learn all about archery and actually like apply real life bow hunting skills, like actually shooting out of a tree stand, climbing stands, how to use ground blinds, how to use deer, you know, calls. So it's fun Love that it. There are groups like that that are supporting, but you know, there's only so much we can do, but we're trying our best to do at least something. And it's been fun the last couple of years. We've had a lot of kids borrow bows, which means they didn't have one. Some of these kids, their parents don't hunt, right? So that's some of those kids that it's really fun to be able to, you know, be able to reach is we planted a little seed into someone that, you know, wants to learn this archery stuff and hunting that didn't necessarily get it passed down from his parents like I did.
Yeah, for sure. I agree 100%. That's excellent, man. Yeah, those are – every type of program like that is critical to what we're doing, I think, at the end of the day. And again, archery, it's in you, it's in me, it's in all of us. It's not, this isn't like something like, hey, just randomly, all these people don't hunt, or actually their family, their forefathers were hunters somewhere, hunters gatherers somewhere in their chain. There's no way around it. And so like, sure, you could be a farmer and you could, you know, grow what you harvest and all that. That's cool too. And again, but those people still came from that background. And you know, super important that kids learn that. I'm surprised archery's not more into, you know, in the school systems as much as I would hope it would be. It's not.
Right.
It should be, especially Michigan. I can't believe it. I mean, we're a hunting state. Always been.
Yeah. Under the last administration, there was more programs that were actually opened up, and the last administration, his son kind of likes hunting and helped advance some of those programs, but hopefully we can get back to that maybe.
Well, that's the thing, you know, getting the outdoor people and, you know, people who actually take part in that, you know, when people don't take part in it, they're not going to give any leeway for it. And they're not going to, especially if they have one person in their ear saying, oh, don't turn that off or turn this on. You know, it's like, and they don't care. Right. Like, oh yeah, turn that off. Baiting's off, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like, like let's get serious here, people. But Joe, it's always a pleasure having me. I appreciate it, and we're looking forward to all the great things Fourth Arrow has to offer. And again, you know, if you're filming your hunts, this is in my opinion a critical piece to the pie and a safe way to, you know, keep your gear from falling or breaking in the field. You don't want to be bobbling crap, so don't even start that or even try to set it on a limb. That just doesn't make sense, especially at starting at $100. I mean, come on. So, but thanks, man. I appreciate you coming on. And any last words, I guess?
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me. So if you want to check anything out, you can go to actually, we got a few different brands in the group. So if you want to just go to fourtharrow.com, it's got links to Fourth Arrow Camera Arms, all of our different products. So.
Awesome. Thanks, sir. Appreciate that. And we'll see you guys next time on the show. Thank you for tuning into the show today. We hope you had a good time. Please make sure you hit that subscribe button and like button where you can. You can find us all over every platform. And don't forget to join our membership programs. Have a lot of fun with the community here and have a chance to win some really cool products. We'll see you soon.
This isn't just a game, it's a once in a generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.